Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara is about to discuss what was said in the beginning of the Mishnah, which is Balo Etzel Paro. Paro Hayomeid Ben Ulam Nizbeach. That his par is found between the Ulam Nizbeach. Over there, he does the Vidui and he does the Shchita. We know that all Kodshei Kodashim require Shchitatan Bitzafon. They require that they be shechted on the northern side of the Mizbeach, because it says, V'shachata oto al yerech ha-Mizbeach Tzafona, that you have to do it on the northern side of the Mizbeach when it comes to Kodshei Kodashim. Now, the Gemara asks about this, Man Shmaitle, who is the one that has the opinion, Damar ben Ulam the Mizbeach Tzafon? Between the Ulam and the Mizbeach is still considered to be north. If you take the Mizbeach, which is facing the southern side, the ramp comes up from the southern side. We have a machloket Tanaim as to where it stood, whether it was exactly in the middle of the Azara, or it was skewed to the north or to the southern side. But to the north of the Mizbeach itself, towards the wall of the Azara, we know has all of the equipment that the Kohanim use in terms of Shchitat Korbanot and Hefshet HaKorbanot. And that is considered to be for sure Tzafon HaMizbeach, because that's Al Yerech, on the side of the Tzafon HaMizbeach. So between the Mizbeach itself and the wall of the Azara on the northern side, that for sure is Tzafon. The question is, to the west and the east of that location, the Mizbeach has space to the west of it until it reaches the Ulam, which is the beginning of the Heichal, the entranceway to the Heichal. And then on the eastern side, it has the Makom Hiluch Raglei Yisrael and Makom Hiluch Raglei Kohanim, which are 11 amot each of 22 amot. So they're actually 22 amot from the eastern side of the Azara until the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach itself is 32 amot wide. And then you have another 22 amot from there until the Ulam. So the question is, if he is bringing the power between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, that means that on the northern side, he is past the edge of the Mizbeach. He's not between the Mizbeach and the wall of the Azara. He's already west of that location. Who says that that is still considered to be north with regards to Shchitat Kodshei Kodashim? That's what the Gemara's question is, because we need to know who's authoring our Mishnah. And that is a three-way machloket in Zvachim. Rabbi Elazar bi Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara says, this is authored by Rabbi Elazar bi Rabbi Shimon. Tanya, Rabbi Braita, Ezu Tzafon. What is considered to be the north? Mikir shom izbeach tzfoni, vad kotel azara, ukeneged kol hamizbeach kulo, tzafon, divrei Rabbi Yosi bi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi Reb Yehuda has a minimalistic approach to this. He says Yerech means on the edge of the Mizbeach. Literally, the edge of the Mizbeach. That means from the northern side of the Mizbeach to the Kotel HaAzara, until the wall of the Azara, that is north. The whole width of the Mizbeach, to the north, the 32 Admot wide, from the end of the Mizbeach until the wall of the Azara. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar bi Rabbi Shimon Mosif, he has on an additional area, Af Ben Ulam the Mizbeach. The 22 Amot between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, which is west of the Mizbeach itself, are still considered to be north with regards to Shchitat Kodshei Kodashim. On the other hand, the stuff to the east is not, because that's a lower form of Kedusha. That's the Makom Hiluch Raglei Yisrael, Makom Hiluch Raglei Kohanim. It's a lower form of Kedusha within the Azara. Does not attain the Kedusha Tzafon that we need. So Kedusha Tzafon Yerech, it's not literally Yerech opposite the Mizbeach, but it means north of the Mizbeach. As long as you're in an area that is opposite the Mizbeach, or more kadosh than that. So opposite the Mizbeach, even Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda agrees to. But even Ben Ulam Mizbeach, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says that's included in north, because it's an area that's as kadosh, if not more kadosh, than opposite the northern side of the Mizbeach. Rabbi Mosif, Af Makom Drisat Raglei Kohanim, Af Makom Drisat Raglei Yisrael. That included in the northern side is the entire northern side of the Azara. Basically from the eastern wall of the Azara until the Ulam, all of that is classified as north. Aval, everyone agrees, min chalifot v'lifnim, from the area of the chalifot and inward, akol magdim shepasul, from over there, everybody agrees it's pasul. The chalifot are the area of the ulam. The ulam was the antechamber to get into the heichal. It was wider on each side of the heichal by 15 amot. It itself was 10 amot wide. In there were cubbies, in which the Kohanim stored their chalaf. As Rashi says, chalaf in Arabic is a knife. And so they should store their knives there for the Shechita. The different Batei Avot stored them there. So that's why it's called Beit HaChalifot, the place of the knives. So when you stood there on the edge of the Ulam on the northern side, or past there towards the western side, all the way along the Eichal to the back, everybody agrees that's Pasul. Gemara and Zvachim tells us, because Yev Shar, the Rota Mizbeach Misham, you can't see the Mizbeach from there, so that cannot be called the northern side of the Mizbeach. Gemara there discusses there are certain locations there, maybe you could see it on the angle, so on and so forth, but as far as everyone is concerned from that area back, there is no din of Tzafon. I put out diagrams so you can see all this in a much easier schematic way. We have three opinions. That of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says only directly opposite the Mizbeach itself is Tzafon. We have Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says opposite the Mizbeach plus something that's more Kadosh, like Ben Ulam Mizbeach. Then Rabbi who says Yerach HaMizbeach means anything north of the Mizbeach, that is from the beginning of the Azara on the eastern side until the Ulam. All of that is considered to be north. He has the most expansive view of what north is for Shchitat, Kodshei, Kodashim. What the Gemara says is here, is that the fact that we allow you to do the vidui on the par, ben ulan mizbech, and then do the shkita there, means that that is called Tzafon. Who has that opinion? That's Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, who says ben ulan mizbech is called Tzafon. Now it's true, there's an additional machloket in the Gemara in Tzvachim as well, as to whether the mizbech itself is considered to be Tzafon. And that is, if the mizbech is skewed to the Tzafon in any way, would you be able to shecht the korban on the mizbech itself? And similarly, on the ground next to the Mizbeach, would you be able to shech the Korban, even though it's not past the Yerech, it's not on the edge of the Mizbeach, past the northern side of the Mizbeach, but because it's in the north, and it's next to the Mizbeach, is that enough? So Ben Olam, the Mizbeach, could literally between the Mizbeach and the Ulam itself, not just in the area that's parallel to between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. That we'll get to in tomorrow's Daf, the Gemara will be Dayik from that, from our Lashon here in the Mishnah, as to the authorship of this Mishnah and Astira in the upcoming Mishnah. Now the Gemara says, Lema Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon hi. So let's say Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon velo Rabbi, and it's not Rabbi. Afilu teima Rabbi. Gemara says it can even be Rabbi. Gemara says Rabbi hashto ad Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda mosif. If Rabbi is adding on to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, ad Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon lo mosif. All Rabbi adds on is the eastern side of the Mizbeach. It's also included as the northern end, and that's north. He never addresses Ben Ulam Mizbeach. All the Gemara says is, well, if Rabbi is Mosif on top of Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, who says only opposite the Mizbeach, and he adds in the area to the east of that, then certainly he'll agree to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon's position to the areas to the west of that. So if that's the case, then Rabbi could be the author of this Mishnah just as well as Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Gemara says, Ana hachagam rinon. This is what we meant. E Rabbi he. If the author of the Mishnah is Rabbi, nuk maybe hulei azara. You can put it anywhere in the Azara, Elamai. So the Gemara says, okay. If it's Rabbi, you can put it anywhere in the Azara on the northern side, then why are you doing it Ben Ulam Mizbeach? We'll say the same thing about Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimoni. V'nukma ben Mizbeach l'kotel. Why is he doing it all the way over on the western side between the Ulam Mizbeach? Do it directly opposite the Mizbeach. Everybody agrees that opposite the Mizbeach is more north and the best place to do it. So why not do it there? Elamai idlachol me'emar. So then why does Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon allow you to skew it more to the west and put it Ben Ulam Mizbeach? Because of the weakness of the Kohen Gadol, we want to minimize the amount of effort and work that he has to do. So if we put it Ben Ulam the Mizbeach, as soon as he does Kabbalat Adam, he can go directly to the Mizbeach and do the Matnot Dam without exerting too much effort. The Rabbi Nami. So the same answer for Rabbi we can give. Mishum Chosha the Kohen Gadol. And Rabbi could just as well be the author of this Mishnah as Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. The reason we put it Ben Ulam the Mizbeach is for protection of the Kohen. The Tosafot asks, what was the Havamina of the questioner here, or the Salkadat Chamina, that it was only Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon and not Rabbi? Of course, they have the same position with regards to Ben Ulam Nimizbeach. So Tosafot suggests that at least we could have understood Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon's position, that he didn't want to do it Ben Mizbeach Le Kotel Azara, because there's lots of stuff over there. Since there's lots of things over there, it might interfere, and therefore we moved it Ben Ulam Nimizbeach. But according to Rabbi, who also has the eastern side, the area of Makom, Trisat, Raglei Yisrael, and Trisat, Raglei Kohanim, that's all open, and you could have done it over there. So why give preference Ben Ulam Mizbeach versus the area that is to the east? And so that was the Havamina. In the end, the Gemara says it doesn't really make a difference, because even for Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, we have to answer why he didn't do it opposite Mizbeach, if that's the better location. And the answer is Chusha the Kohen Gadol. And that answer is equally applicable to Rabbi. If it's equally applicable to Rabbi, then Rabbi could also be the author of our Mishnah, and the reason it's not done anywhere on the northern side is because we give preference to this location to help out the Kohen Gadol. V'shol l'darom, upanav l'marav. You set up the animal with its rear towards the north, its head towards the south, but then you turn the face towards the marav. And then the Kohen Gadol stands behind him and does vidui while he's facing to the west. Hecha mishkachada. So how does this work? So amarav, okay metrosho. You twist the head. The body is set up north-south, or really south-north. The head is in the south, the back is in, or the hind is in the north. And then they turn the head to face the west. Why don't you just set up the animal east-west, meaning that you have the head in the west and the rear in the east, and just face it towards the Kodesh HaKodeshim? We're afraid that it might relieve itself. If it relieves itself, it's going to do that facing the Mizbeach, because the west is the Eichal, and if it's facing eastward, the body, that means the rear, the hind of the animal, faces towards the Mizbeach. In that case, if it defecates, then it's going to end up doing that facing the Mizbeach. So in order to avoid that problem, we have the animal face south, it's back to the north, so that if it defecates towards the north, it's not facing anything except the wall of the Azara. Then we turn its head to the west, because west is the Kodesh HaKodeshim, and we want the Kohen, who's going to do the Vidui, the Kohen Gadol, to stand on the eastern side facing towards the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Tarabanan, Ketzad Sumeich, how does he do this smicha? Hazevach Umeid B'Tzafon, the Kurban is in the north, as we said before, Upanav the Marav, and its head is twisted towards the west. Sumeich Umeid B'Mizrach, the Kohen Gadol is going to do the smicha, stands on the eastern side, Upanav the Marav, facing towards the Eichal. Meniach Shtei Yadav Ben Shtei Karnot Shel Zevach, he places his two hands between the two horns of the zevach. Ubavad shelo yehi davar chutzeitz beino the ben zevach, but there can't be anything between his hands and the zevach itself. He can't wear gloves. He can't have a handkerchief there. He can't have anything. He needs to be directly on the zevach. Umidvadeh, and then he does the vidui al chatat. If it's a chatat, avon chatat, then he does whatever sin he's bringing the chatat for. That's the vidui that he says. Val hasham, if this is a korban hasham and he's doing vidui on a korban hasham. Avon Hashem. Then he says, whatever chait he's bringing the Hashem for, he does the vidui for. Ve'al Ola. If he's bringing an Ola, what is the vidui that he does on an Ola? Avon Leket Shechacha Upeya Umayser Ani. Does it on these matnot aniim that he has not done or has not given? That's what he is mitvade alehem. As Rashi points out from the Tosefta Menachot, that Leket Shechacha and Peya do not have a vidui associated with them. We have vidui maiser, which is found in Parshat Ki Tavo at the end of Sefer Devarim. Over there, that vidui, according to the Gemara, includes maser, truma, and many other of the matnot aniim. What's not included there is Leket Shechacha and Peya. Because of that, we say that the vidui on the Ola is the equivalent of the vidui maser for Leket Shechacha and Peya. Now, maiser ani, Rashi eliminates from the Girsa because he says that Tosefta doesn't have it. Plus, we know that Maaser Ani is included in that Vidui Maaser at the end of Parshat Ki Tavo, because it's one of the limudim that the Gemara has, is that it's included in that Vidui. So Tosafot disagrees and says he should leave in Maaser Ani, because Maaser Ani is not the Iker Vidui found in that Maaser at the end of Parshat Ki Tavo. And there are other ancillary items that are brought in, but they're not the Iker Vidui. And over here it's the Iker Vidui, so Maaser Ani could be included. In addition to that, he says that Vidui Maaser over there is a Vidui that is done kisidro, when he did it right. Over here, we're talking about a vidui that he does something wrong. And therefore, Maaser Ani could be included here, even though it was included over there. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Yossi Aglili says that's the reason for the vidui on the Ola. Bekiva Omer, en Ola ba'a, el ase, valo tase, ashinitak le'ase. Ola only comes for violations that do not have a punishment. That's an ase. In the Torah, mitzvot ase have no punishment associated with them if you do not do the positive commandment. And lava nitakta say, a violation of a negative commandment that has a rectification through a positive commandment also is something that does not get malkot. Since these do not have punishments associated with them, the ola is mechaper on these avonot. Tosafot asks, why don't we say anything that doesn't have malkot? We have other lavin that do not qualify to get malkot. Why aren't they included here? So he says that by the ola, it says, v'nirtzalo lechaper alav, that it'll be pleasing in order to be mechaper for him. Tosafot says it has to be something that involves ritzui, something that's pleasing, like a mitzvah asay, or a lavanitakta asay that has the asay, the positive side of it, that is rectifying whatever he has done. And so because of that, your only items that are nitchapera yidei deola are these types of asay, or lavanitakta asay that do not have a punishment, and not other items that also do not have a punishment, but they don't have that side of ritzui, of the positive side associated with them. Where it says, my kamiflege, what's the shoresh machloket here between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Akiva? So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah says that they're arguing about the lav de nevela kamithlege, the lav of nevela. The lav of nevela is found in Sefer Devarim in Parshat Re'eh with regards to the mentioning of the kosher and non-kosher animals over there. And then it says in the pasuk, lo tochlu kol nevela, should not eat any nevela. The ger asher bisharecha titnena, you should give it to the ger in your midst. Bachala, and he'd eat it. O machor lenachri or sell it to nachri, ke'am kadosh atal Hashem elkecha, lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo. So over there, the Torah gives you a lot to say, which is don't eat the nevela. It also gives you a mitzvah to say, which is give it to the ger or sell it to the nachri. The question is, what's the relationship between the assay and the lav? So is the assay over there somehow affect the lav of nevela? if you ate the nevela, it's obvious that you can no longer give it to the ger or sell it to the nachri. So everybody agrees that the aseh means do this first. That's what you properly should do, and do not eat the nevela. But because of the way that it's set up, does this aseh somehow weaken the lav that you don't get malchut from it? And that's what Rabbi Yirmiyah says the machloket here is. The machloket is, Rabbi Kiva says, this aseh has nothing to do with the lav. The aseh is do this first. If you don't do this, then lo tochlu kol nevela. You're not allowed to eat the nevela just because you didn't give it to the ger or sell it to the nachri. They're separate. They're independent items. Aseh is not a rectification of the lav. And therefore, you would get malkot on it. And that's what Rabbi Kiva savar lav ma'al yehu. It's a full-fledged lav. Rabbi Yossi Aglidi savar lav ma'al yehu. It's not a full-fledged lav because it has this aseh. Now, I agree. Yes, this aseh is mi'ikara, and it's not a rectification of the lav. But the fact that it's written in this way, that the lav is first and the aseh is afterwards, that aseh comes to diminish or weaken the lav to the point that you won't get malkot for it. And therefore, it will be covered by an olah, and not by the lav that you get malkot for. And then the same will be true by leket, shichacha, and peyah. Because by leket, shichacha, and peyah, we have a similar type of setup. And that's in Vayikra Yutet, when it describes the matnot anim that you leave, you have to leave over. It says, ubekurtzachem ekitziratzachem. When you harvest your field, lo techale patzad chaliktzor, do not finish off the corner of your field. The leket kitzircha lo telakate. The leket you should not pick up. The karmecha lo teulel, uperit karmecha lo telakate. Should not do the same by the vines. You should leave over the pe'ah and the leket by the vines, by the grapevines. La'ani v'lager tozov otam. You should leave them over for those that are less fortunate. Ani Hashem l'koyechem. So again, there you have a lav, and you have an aseh afterwards. Obviously, if you take the stuff for yourself, you're not giving it to the ani v'ger. So that's what Rabbi Yirmiyah is suggesting. Just like by nevela, there's an aseh afterwards, and there's a lav before it. Rabbi Akiva is going to say the same thing by leket shechah and pe'ah. The aseh and the lav are totally separate. You may not take it. What are you supposed to do with it? You're supposed to give it to the ani leger. Rabbi Yossi Aglidi, on the other hand, sees the aseh as a rectification of the lav here. That if you take it for yourself, how do you rectify that? You give it to the ani leger. And so the aseh, yes, you're supposed to do that first. But if you didn't do it, you could still rectify it by giving it. And therefore, it's a lav and you talk the aseh. But according to Rabbi Yossi Aglidi, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah here, you would not get malkot for the lav and nevela, and you would not get malkot for leket shechah and peyah. And both of them have an aseh that weakens the lav. And therefore, the Allah will take over and be mechaper on them. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva disagrees in both cases. He says, by lav nevela, the aseh is not connected whatsoever. And similarly, by the lav of lechet shechah and peyah, the aseh afterwards is not the aseh to rectify, but rather what you're supposed to do, independent of the isur lav. And they're not connected, and therefore both of them are full-fledged lavim, and you would get malkot for violating them. That's Rabbi Yirmiyah's suggestion. Abaye says, no, everybody agrees that lav de nevela is a full-fledged lav, and the mitzvah to say there is not connected to it. Because even according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yossi agrees that that assay is not a rectification of the lav, because if you ate it, you can't give it to the ger, or you can't sell it to the nachri. So he just says, because of the nature of the way it's written, that's weaker. So Abaye says, nah, everybody agrees that that lav de nevela is a full-fledged lav that you get malkot for. So then what's their machloket? This is what, b'halcha b'tazov k'miflegi. They argue about this tazov by leket shichlan peyah, chizlani lager tazov otam. So that tazov, what is the meaning of that tazov? De Rabbi Akiva savar tazov mi'ikara mashma. Tazov is the instruction of what you're supposed to do. Leave it for the ani and the ger. Do not take it for yourself. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosef Lili savar hashta mashma. No, that where it's placed in the pasuk is where it's meant to be. Don't take it for yourself. And if you do, then please give it to l'ani l'ager. There is a way to rectify it. So he sees it as a lav and he takta aseh, whereas Rabbi Akiva sees it as a full-fledged lav. And that's their machloket as to whether olah covers things like leket shechah and peyah. Leket shechah and peyah isn't a lav and he takta aseh, and therefore would be covered. Or is it a plain lav and you get a malchot for it and it's not covered by the olah? And that's the shorish machloket between them. Tarabanan, ketzad mitvadeh. How does he do the vidui? So that in our Mishnah, the Mishnah lays out the language of the vidui, and it says, aviti, pashati, v'chatati. V'chein, mesira, mishtaleach, hu omer. So this is the vidui that he does on any korban. And similarly, the language by the sira mishtaleach is also, v'hit v'dalav, et kol avonot b'nei Israel, v'et kol pishehem, v'chol chatotam. So again, the order there is avonot, pishayim, and then chataim. V'chein b'moshe u'omer, and so too by Moshe, it says, by the Egel, nose avon, v'fesha, v'chata'a. By the Shlosh Esrei Midot, we say avon, pesha, and then chata'a. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion, that the order is, based on the psukim, avon, pesha, and chata'a. Chamim amrim, that's not a logical way to set it up. Avonot, the word avonot refers to zdonot, those things that are done intentionally. Chenu omer, hikaret, tikaret, anevesh ahi, avona ba. That the person will be subject to the punishment of karet, because avona ba, he did it intentionally. Pshaim, elu amordim. Pshaim are things where you've rebelled. Chenu omer, melech moav pasha bi. That's referring to Yehoram ben Achav. After Achav dies, and Yehoram takes over the malchut, melech moav pasha bo. He throws off the yoke of Melech Yisrael, and he no longer pays tribute to him, and is unwilling to be subjected to his rule. Yehoram then goes to Yehoshaphat and asks him to join him in a battle against Melech Moab, who Edom also joins, and there's the famous story of Elisha, who joins them in the battle, and tells them that they will win the battle because of the zechuta of Yehoshaphat. The next example, Vomer, Az Tifsha Livna Beit Ahi. There is speaking about Yoram ben Yehoshaphat, that's the son of Yehoshaphat, married to the daughter of Achav. Yoram does not act so well. And over there in the Psukim it says, slowly but surely his malchut is broken down. Melech Edom, Edom at that time breaks away and sets up their own king. And it says over there also that Livna breaks away, rebels against him and breaks away. It's not clear what this Livna is. Livna is a place that sounds like an Eretz Yisrael. It sounds like parts of Yehuda rejected his kingship. And they rebelled against him. But there are many people rebelling against him, and that's the word pesha. V'chol chatotam elu eshkagot. Chatat refers to things that are done unintentionally. They're not completely onus, but they are unintentional. V'chein omer, nefesh ki techata bishkaga. When it describes the korban chatat that is brought for a chatat, is bishkaga, a chet bishkaga. So machar shemit vadel as donot, falamardim. Why would you ever first do vidui on the most extreme of the sins? And then come and ask for forgiveness for the things that are the lighter form of sins. You first ask for the lighter sins, and then you move up to the more difficult or extreme sins. The way that you do it is, chatati, which are the shkagot first. Ve'aviti. Then afterwards you move on to the avonot, which are the things that are done intentionally. Upashati. Then you move on to the things that are of the worst nature, which is those that are rebelling against God. So that's how you would do it. You would say, in this order, of chatat David pashat lifnecha ani uveiti v'chule. V'chein David omer. And by David in Tehillim it says, chatanu im avoteinu. We have sinned with our fathers. He'evinu. We've committed iniquities. Hirshanu. We've acted wickedly. V'chein b'shlomo omer. By Shlomo HaMelech it also says, when he's davening to Hashem about the consecration of the Mikdash, and he says that all tefillot should come derech HaMikdash. He says that in the future, when Bnei Yisrael go into Shevi, they're taken into captivity or into exile, they'll turn to Hashem, and they'll say this vidui, which is, chatanu, we have sinned. Now, the proper language there is, vehevinu, and we've acted or done perversely, rashanu, and we've acted wickedly. In addition to that, vechem Daniel omer. By Daniel, he also says a vidui, and he says over there, chatanu, we have sinned, veavinu, we have committed iniquity, hirshanu, the vav is written in the ktiv, but it's not pronounced in the kri, hirshanu, we've done wickedly, umaradnu. And then the last thing there is maradno, which the Gemara doesn't mention at all here, but also shows that progression from the least severe to the most severe. And that's the position of the Chachamim. So, Ella, ma'u shamar Moshe. Then, what are we going to do about the fact that the Torah, when Moshe Rabbeinu talks about the Shlosh Midot, says, Nosei avon v'fesha v'chata'a. He brings avonot, pesha'im, and then chata'im, in that order. I mean, Moshe, that's for a drasha. Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shalom, b'shash Yisrael chut'im lefanecha, when Bnei Yisrael sin, v'osim tshuva, and then they repent. Make their intentional sins as if they are unintentional sins. So that's why he puts the chatat at the end, to say the intentional sins should become like unintentional sins. And then the unintentional sins should be forgiven. Amar Rabba Bar Shmuel Merav, halacha kedivrei chachamim. Halacha is like the chachamim. Gemara says, pshita, yochid v'rabim, halacha g'rabim. That's a basic tenet in the psak halacha, that when you have the rabim fighting against the yachid, an individual, the rabim win. Majority rules. So why would you think the Rabbi Meir should govern over here? The Madu Teva Mistaver Tami the Rabbi Meir. Maybe because over here Rabbi Meir's position makes a lot of sense. To Messiah Lekra, because the pasuk supports him. The pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu, the pasuk in Achrimot with regards to the Vidur, the Seir Mishtalech, they all support the position of Rabbi Meir. So I would think maybe we should give credence to his position, even though he's a Yachid. Kamash Vlan, that we still paskin like the Rabbim. How did Nachi Kamei the Rabbo? There was this individual who went down before Rabbo. He was the Shliach Tzibor on Yom HaKiburim. But Avad Rabbi Meir, he was Mesader, the Avodah, because of Neshama Parim Sfateinu, that when we say over the Avodah, it's as if we perform the Avodah. And he was laying out the Avodah. And when it came to the Vidui of the Kohen Gadol, he said it like Rabbi Meir, which is that the order that he used was Aviti Pashati Chatati, and not like the Chachamim. So Rabba says to them, Amalei, Tavakta Rabbonim Avat to Rabbi Meir, you left the position that Chachamim were the majority and went with Rabbi Meir. Amalei, Rabbi Meir severely, I hold like Rabbi Meir, Kidichtiv B'Sefer Raita de Moshe, because that's what's written in the Torah. So I follow what's written in the Torah. So yes, the Chachamim might argue, but Rabbi Meir makes a lot more sense here, especially given that it's specifically written this way in Parshat Acharei Mot. But we paskin like the Chachamim, that we move from the less severe of sins to the more severe of sins, and therefore our language in the Vidui is Chatati, Aviti, Pashati. Okay, we'll stop over here.